Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you that no matter where we are, that you are there with us, Lord. And Jesus, as we sing those words, that there is nothing else we want but you. Father, I pray today that as we come around your word, that that would be truth to us. That you would show us, Lord God, reveal to us the way to actually live that out. It is one thing to stand here and say and sing a beautiful song, Jesus, there's nothing else we want. But Father God, let our lives reflect that truth. Let others see the way that you are at work in us and come to know you as their Lord and Savior as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I've got written down in my notes here to start the service today, that we've got good news, that our services are coming back. From next week, we're going to have 50 people in church and it's going to be great. But hey, that's not happening and that's okay. And I wanted to speak to you quickly. You guys, oh yeah, you guys are done. That's great. Thanks. I just wanted to encourage you around that thought, because when I heard the news, I don't know if you heard it as well, that the restrictions that were easing have now been sort of tightened again a little bit. I was quite bummed. I was really, really disappointed and really frustrated. You know, we as a church had a number of plans that we were going to put in place in the reopening, and I'm sure you personally had some plans about what you were going to do with those, with the new freedoms, newfound freedoms that we're having again, and it's not happening. And I wanted to challenge us around that thought, that that it is disappointing and it is frustrating. And we don't understand every complexity behind it. But you know what? God is still at work. God is still moving in and through our lives. And I just want to say to you, there are going to be people that watch the way that you respond and the way that we respond as believers when we have news like this. And I know that, you know, in the grand scheme, if we take perspective into account, that things aren't really that bad. We're okay. But watch. Let people see the way that you respond in Christ-like manner. Let people see that you can see that there's an end to this and that there is hope even in and through these times. So I'm excited for what God is going to continue to do through this time, through online service and through us, you know, doing community again. And I wrote this down here. And if you can continue to meet, I know we're allowed one family or a few people in our house. Meeting together is really important. So I know that the restrictions are such that we want to prevent that as much as possible. And I'm right behind all of that. We need to do all of that. But at the same time, community is so important. I wrote this down. This online service and online Zoom meetings and all this is not about consuming content. It is about continuing community. That's what we're trying to do. And that's what we need to continue to do through these times. So think creatively yourself about the way that you can continue to do community with people around you. Yeah, it sucks. We can't continue to move forward. But hey, the time will come. Let's have hope in that. Amen. So we're going to continue streaming services until everyone's able to be back in the room. And we will work towards that. We'll let you know how that's going to happen over the coming weeks and months ahead. Over the past couple of weeks, there have been some unfortunate events unfold, particularly around the United States and around racism, and there've been a lot of commentaries, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of opinion pieces, and if you've been on social media, no doubt you've seen it come up and about, and unfortunately, it's led to a lot of people just feeling hurt. There's been a lot of hurt in other people, and I don't know if you've felt this or you've had a conversation with someone about it, but it can sometimes be really hard to have a honest conversation with people around these subjects that are quite delicate or quite difficult to talk about. And I was thinking about that, and sometimes it's easier for us to just not say anything, and that can be a problem in and of itself. Before I bring the message today, I wanted to take a couple of scriptures and just allow them to breathe life into us around this situation as well. Firstly, I want to encourage us to allow ourselves to see or to choose to see others the way God actually sees them. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." It is easy for us to look at the outward action of people, but God looks to the heart, and He knows what's going on behind it all. He knows that every single person is hurting in some way. We're all broken. We're all hurting in some way. None of us are complete outside of knowing Jesus. And as we choose to see people that way, it leads us to be able to love them the way that Christ loves them, to be gracious and to be caring for the hurting. And secondly, we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Colossians 4, 5 and 6 says this. It says, be wise in the way that you act towards others. Make the most of every opportunity. I love that. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. If you're ever in that situation, you're having a difficult conversation about what's going on in society or even about anything to do with the Word of God, your number one, I always go into those conversations saying, Holy Spirit, I need you. Holy Spirit, speak through me. Let these words not be mine, but give me wisdom that comes from you. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Ask God in those moments to give you the words to say, to give you the actions to put out there. I believe if you're a believer in Christ, then if you're doing it right, then you will find yourself in these moments where you have difficult conversations with people. And perhaps you think about that and you're like, man, I'm not qualified to have these conversations. I know I've been in that situation before where I've been like, man, I am not qualified to have this conversation right now. And there can be, there's a little bit of non-truth to that. We are qualified to actually speak, but sometimes you don't feel qualified to speak, but you are actually qualified to love. You are qualified to love in that situation, in all those situations, to show someone you care. And so maybe it's not by the words that you say, but it's by the way that you act towards them and show Christ-like character. So just some thoughts on that. I hope that's encouraging to you. And you know, we find ourselves in difficult situations, but God is bigger than all that. And He is bigger than this, what we're going through here in coronavirus and being apart from each other again. But God is bigger than that, and He is working in and through that. So let's have hope in Him. Today, as we've mentioned, we're going to start a new series. And I've been really excited about this series. It's called Under Pressure. God gave me the title for this series many months ago, and I didn't know when we would do it, but as I was preparing for this current roster and this season that we're in, I just felt God tell me to put it in for this week. It led up to this week so well, and I actually feel that it is so God's timing that we are doing this series right now. It goes for 4 weeks, and we've got a few different speakers, and it's going to be a really, really good one. I'm really looking forward to it. God's timing. Because with the things that are opening up right now, I had that written down, the things that are closing down again, and then they will be reopening, it all applies, it's going to come back eventually. This is going to be a really important one for us, not only now, but as we go in the future. If you did physics at school, did anyone do physics at school? Anyone here? A couple of physics, anyone at home? You did physics? I never did physics. You might be able to tell by where I'm going with this, but I didn't. But there were a couple of different types of pressure that you learn about at school. And if you did physics, you learned about more than one pressure. If you didn't do physics, you learn about that one pressure, which is peer pressure. I don't know if you experience peer pressure at school at the moment, but I've got a photo here of me being peer pressured. This was, thanks guys, where's that photo? We got that there. There it is. That's me. Love that. How's the tie? Tassie Devil tie. That's peer pressure. I wonder if you could go through the archives of your own photos and find a photo where fashion and peer pressure went together for you. That was one for me. We thought that was cool. I don't know why. I don't have a joke today, but I think that photo is joke enough. Is that right? Maybe that's a better joke than my normal jokes, that photo. Everyone says amen. Maybe I'll just bring photos of myself growing up as a joke. That's a good one. But there's a different message around peer pressure, and that's not the pressure that I want to look at today. Pressure, by definition, is this. Pressure is continuous physical force exerted on or against an object by something in contact with it. Pressure can be both one of the most boring things to look at, to see happen, and can be one of the most powerful things to experience in life. And most of us will be able to think back on times in our lives where we've felt like we've been under pressure. Perhaps right now, this is the most pressure you've felt in your entire life with what we're going through right now. I think most people at some point since the start of coronavirus have felt some kind of pressure, whether it's parents that have been home homeschooling kids through that time, or whether you're in a situation where the things that you had built in your life are now starting to fall apart a little bit through things that are outside of your control. Whatever the case, we feel under pressure at certain points. And my hope is that through this series, that we will be able to see the way that God is still at work in our lives, and that the way that He will show us through this, and the way that He will open our eyes to the way that He is actually using this pressure as well. So let's just open our hearts. Let's open our minds to what He wants to say to us today. Let's just pray. Let's take a moment right now. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that no matter the circumstance that we find ourselves in life, that Your word applies. Father, we thank You that You are real. We thank You, Jesus, that You are living in and through us, and Your word and Your light is going to shine brightly into those around us. So, Father, right now we open up our hearts. We ask You to have Your way in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I've got an exercise for you. So if you grab both of your hands, if you've got something in your hand at home, maybe pop it down for a second. Put your hands together in front of you like this, like praying hands. And if you push hard against each hand, what happens? Not really much. You are putting pressure against your hands, but because there's equal pressure both sides, not really much is happening. Now, if you put your finger and you put your finger up against that hand, keep it there. Now push the same as hard as you can and see what changes. There's a little bit of pain in your finger maybe, or a little bit of pain. Now go to the next level and tip it up a little bit so that you've got the nail and push. Don't do it too hard. I don't want you to hurt yourself. But can you feel that pressure? You can feel the pressure going right to the edge of your nail that is going into your other hand, into your skin. And then if you were to take it to the next level and put something even sharper on there, don't do it, please. But imagine what it would feel like and what would end up happening if you were to do that. What would happen? It would cause some issues to that place that you're putting the pressure on. Pressure in life is inevitable. At some point, you will feel it or you will know it. And I think that everyone could relate somewhat to feeling pressure in life. But it's how we allow the pressure to cause action that turns it into a positive or a negative. And we're going to look at different aspects of the way pressure affects us negatively, and also the way that pressure affects us in a positive sense as we go through this series. In the example, we had the same force being applied in every single case, but the force that was being applied through different points caused a different amount of pressure in your open hand. In each case, there was pressure, and we will feel it, but it's the way the pressure was applied or directed that caused a differing response. According to the APS, the Australian Psychological Society, the number one cause of stress for Australians is what? What do you think it is, people in the room, worship team? Money. Got it. Number one. Personal finance is apparently, according to research, the number one pressure for people in Australia. This was from a couple of years ago, and my guess is that this will only have increased now through the coronavirus. Imagine your hand as that pressure, applying that pressure. I've got a little prop here, so come with me over to here. I've got something to explain this a little bit. Some balloons. We're going to be creative today. I'm a visual learner, so there we are. I like to actually see things. So imagine we've got our hand, and you can see there's a little nail in that as well. And this being our lives, and when we feel the pressure on our lives, if that pressure of finance sometimes, that pressure of finance that it pokes us and it prods us, and we feel a little bit, yeah. You can feel the pain. You know, you get a big bill that you hadn't planned for and you feel that little bit of pressure. You feel that little bit of pain. But you know what happens when we actually don't deal with pressure properly, don't you? Like, we feel that every now and then, but there's some point that comes where the pressure is so much that it continues and it continues, and eventually what happens to us in life, we pop. We pop. And we want to avoid getting, there'd be so much pressure through this thing that we're dealing with that we end up popping or breaking. I've got a scripture here, and God has a plan through all of this. And I want you to hear this scripture. And this might be hard to hear, but is the Word of God for us. It's James 1, verses 2 to 4. I'm reading from the Message paraphrase. It says, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." In other words, trust that God knows what he's doing. And see, as we're able to fix our focus, we have our lives and that pressure comes. But as we're able to fix our focus on God, what happens is that God provides that shelter. And you know what? As the pressure comes, you look at the balloon. You still feel the pressure. We still feel the pressure in our lives, but it is not enough to break us. The pressure is not going to be enough to break us. And you know what does it say? It says other people will see around us. And I don't know if you've ever felt like this balloon, and you're like, man, it's not comfortable. I'm not breaking. It's not comfortable. And other people see it coming out the side, and other people see the pressure that you have, and they're like, dude, how are you dealing with that? How are you actually dealing with that pressure? You're like, God is the one in control. God is the one shielding me from actually breaking and actually popping. God is the one who can help you with the pressure and can shield you from breaking when it comes to the pressure in your life. Praise God that he is bigger than anything, than any circumstance that we face. Amen? To begin the series today, I've got a message that we have called Priority Pressure. We're going to look at stress. We're going to look at the way that our priorities in life have a direct link on our stress and our feeling of pressure. Just like we've seen, stress can create pressure so great that it causes pain and it can cause destruction in our lives. Open your Bibles with me. We're going to look from Luke. We're going to read from Luke. We're going to read from chapter 21 and verse 34. And it's Jesus speaking here. Luke 21, 34. It says, "But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation." Let me just go back a second there. Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down. That word weighed down in the Greek is the word bereo, which means to be burdened or to be under pressure. Jesus knows. Jesus can see. He knows the pressure that we're going to feel. And look what it says, it goes on. It says, weighed down with what? With dissipation and drunkenness. To dissipate means to squander or to spread around. What happens when we have a lot of something? What happens when we have an abundance of things? It's very easy for us to become wasteful with that, with our spending, or it's easy for us to overindulge in something. And one of those things that I'm really going to challenge us on today is, what do we think that we have a lot of? And if you're a younger person in the room, you'd think that this is unending. The more you get closer to the end of your life, the more you realize that this is not infinite, is time, is our days. Do we have unlimited time? The answer is no, not here on earth anyway. Watch out for these things, he says, and drunkenness. This both is in a physical and a figurative sense, medicating ourselves to take away the pain of the world. It actually, it actually brings more pain the other way if we don't do something with it. And he says it'll creep up on us. That day will come suddenly like a trap. Job 9:25 says, "My days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without a glimpse of joy." I don't know if you can relate to that. I certainly have at some points in my life that my days are going fast. I don't know if you feel that this year has gone fast. Where we're at right now in June, it's the 21st of June. This year, man, it's gone fast. As with every year, it seems to be going faster and faster. And as they go fast, do we actually get to have joy through the circumstance that we're in? Are we working so hard and using up so much of our time that we actually, our days fly past without us actually being able to get joy from them, from the things that we're working towards? So Jesus says this will happen. He says, make sure you don't let it get on top of you. There are certain TV shows or movies that you will watch called, some are called thrillers. I call them stressors. because they stress you out when you watch these movies. And there was one, and I was watching something on, Apollo 11, where they went to the moon. And there's this moment where they have, I'll get to that. But there's this subtle trick that filmmakers do, or TV producers, not producers, directors, in these moments to try and make it feel even more suspenseful than what it actually is. And there's this, the music obviously has part to play in it, but there's something subtle that they do. And I don't know if you notice it every time you watch it, but sometimes they put in a ticking clock that goes in the background of a score. And they'll start it at something like 48 beats per minute. Obviously, you know, 60 beats per minute is a second. And they'll start it at 48. And slowly but surely over the minutes of this intense scene, they speed it up to where it becomes every second. And so in the back of your mind, you understand that there is time pressure on this. And that's just the point. They want you to feel that there is time pressure. Imagine you're watching that suspenseful movie. And so Apollo 11 was my example. And there's this moment where they are running out of, there is too much carbon dioxide that is going into the cabin. And they're going to die because of there's too much carbon dioxide. And they have a certain number of hours to live, or even minutes, I think it is. And all of NASA get to work on how do we actually make this happen with a couple of items that they have in the cabin there. And so they've got these guys on the ground sweating. I don't know, like you watch older movies, everyone's always sweating, aren't they? Like there's a lot of sweat that used to happen. Air conditioners now, hey, amazing. And they get this stuff done, but they're under pressure. Now imagine you said, all right, you guys have got 10 years to figure this out. How much pressure would be felt in the room right then? It's very low. Time, more so the lack of time, causes the pressure. If you're sitting there and you gave someone, all right, you got a minute to do a Rubik's Cube, go. Some people would nail it in 10 seconds, but compared to saying you've got forever, well, the pressure is not there. The pressure is not there. Time, and more importantly, how we use it, is one of the most significant areas that we feel pressure in life. And as we slowly emerge from the COVID restrictions that we're experiencing, and we press forward back to the normal life, we have an opportunity like no other to actually, that we've had in our lifetime, to set up our time differently. When else in our lifetimes have you experienced the fact that so much has been stripped away and we have had more time maybe than a lot of other people in these moments? The 110% capacity that we've been living at has been brought back a little bit. Because most of the time we actually know what needs changing in our lives, right? We know what needs changing. However, we struggle with the effort required to actually make those changes in the first place. Well, now is the time. Now we have the opportunity to decide again. So I've got three steps, and if you want to write these down, 3 points, if you're at home, write these down. Grab a notepad or get your phone out and write these things down. It's 3 steps to relieve the pressure on our time. The first one is to decide again what matters most. And I say again, decide again, because isn't this a decision that we have to continually make? What matters most in life? But before we start thinking about what matters most to us, we need to take the focus off ourselves and put it where it should be. And my question really is, what matters most to God? At the end of the day, if you've given your life over to Jesus to make him Lord, then what matters most to him should be what matters most to us. The Apostle Paul had revelation of this, and we can read it in the book of Philippians. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 8. And it's on the screen there for you. It says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. This revelation was that when you hold up anything else of value in the world, up against what it is to know Jesus Christ, it seems worthless. That is such an amazing thought. That is such an amazing thought as to how beautiful that relationship with God and how important that relationship with God actually is, that when you line it up, anything else would look worthless. Jesus himself actually speaks to this. And he's asked this question by one of the Pharisees, an expert in the law. What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. If you were to line up the four big areas of your life right now, in order of priority, those four things being God, being your family, being your work, and perhaps being your ministry as well, what you do for God, how much time would you dedicate, if you were to write it down next to them, how much time would you dedicate to each one of those big ones, those big aspects? The question is the pursuit of knowing God actually what matters most to us? That's such an individual question. Is the pursuit of knowing God, is it actually what matters most to us? Everything else hinges on your answer to that question. So decide again. Now's an opportunity. Now is the opportunity to decide again what matters most. Secondly, my second point for this morning is more or less. Earlier we reminded ourselves that our time is not infinite. No matter, young person, how much you think it is, time is actually not infinite. It's not unending. We have a certain number of days. God knows them. And within those days, we have a certain number of hours. And with the decisions we make over the coming weeks and months, we get to decide which gets more of our time, what things get more of our time, and what things get less of our time. I know for families, kids' activities are looking likely to start back up if they haven't already. Some of them have, but more so in term three this year, and they put pressure on us. For adults, you know, you might have extra work meetings that you go out to, or the gyms are opening up, the movie cinemas are opening up, recreational activities and facilities, fun stuff is, again, I have it down as opening back up. It's not yet, but eventually it will. They're going to start opening back up. And I'm not saying that we should eliminate all of these things from our lives. Some of them are good, but we actually need to make good decisions on how we use our time, how we spend our time. I like to use the word invest, how we invest our time going forward. Louis Giglio has this great quote, which you might want to write down. He says, whenever you say yes to anything, there is less of you for something else. Make sure your yes is worth the less. Make sure your yes is worth the less. I encourage you, ask yourself that as we continue on, as things get added back in. Is my yes to this worth the less that it's going to be somewhere else? I'll ask you these two questions. What do I need more of? What do you need more of in your life? Write yourself a list later today, maybe, sometime this week. What do I need more of in my life? And a line under, or maybe the next page, what do I need less of in my life? Let's evaluate. Let's do that stock take, as Chris Blacker shares with us every now and then. Do a stock take. What do I need more of? What do I need less of in my life? Right now is a perfect time to ask these questions. There's a great book of wisdom in the Bible called Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 6 says this. It says, better is a handful of quietness, some versions say tranquility, of quietness than two handfuls of toil and striving after the wind. So often we are geared to want the more. We always want more of something. But here what he's saying is, it's better to have one and have some quietness and have some peace than it is to have two but be toiling and be chasing after the wind, but just be running all the time. Life so easily points us in that direction. If one donut is good, then two donuts are what? Better. Pastor Nick says better. If $1 is good, $2 are better. You know, that's our attitude towards so many things in life. But I want to challenge that today. And if we leave this thinking unchecked, and if we're not intentional about making those decisions, you better be sure that someone else will make that decision for you. Society, our lives will make that decision for you. I wasn't going to say this, but man, your phone, Your devices will make those decisions for you. They know us better than we think, and they will make that decision for you. You watch one YouTube video on something, man, you better believe it's going to show you 10 more of this. Oh, you're interested in that now. Here you go. I'll deliver up to you in weird ways and different things. If you have, if you're in one of those moments where you really need to make these decisions, I'd encourage you to actually do a fast. Decide to fast on some of those decisions, because some of them are big, and I don't want to pretend that they're not. We're not deciding whether we have Weet-Bix or cornflakes for brekkie in the morning. We're deciding some big things that we want to invest our time into as we go forward. And fast and pray and ask God, God, where are you leading me? What do you have for me in this time? Thirdly, and this is my last point today, once we decide what matters most, and once we decide to cut off the dead weight or cut off the non-essentials in our life, then we need to reprioritize our lives to reflect the decisions we've made. And again, God is giving us the opportunity right now to reset our priorities. The power in prioritizing comes from the truth that order matters. And you better believe that, like I said, if you don't make that decision, someone else will make it for you. Someone else will order your priorities for you. Don't let someone else make that decision. We have the opportunity to make that decision. And I've got something to show you. I've got this exercise, and you might have seen it before. Over here, two jars. Now, I'll get the rocks out, eh? You might have seen this before, but let me show you again. So this jar here, let's say it represents all of the stuff, all of the things that we do with our lives, or, you know, whether it's activities that we have with our kids, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's, you know, making dinner at home. I mean, like, if we're honest, a lot of this is social media, right? Isn't it? Like, half of it's time spent on social media, liking this post and doing that post, or watching a YouTube video, or, you know, I don't know what it is for you. Perhaps it's hanging out in the garden at home. All the stuff, all the little things that happen in life. And if we come along and we say, all right, Andy, I totally get what you're saying today, and I want to make some of those big decisions in my life. And we say, all right, God, I want you to be a big part of my life. You are a big rock in my life. And we put God into our lives. And then we say, Andy, I agree with family. Man, I want to make sure my family sits in a higher rung than perhaps what it is, does right now. And we go, all right, I'm making family a priority. And we put our family into our lives. All right, we've made a priority. Thank you. We'll put family. And then we say, all right, I actually see it as a priority for me to, I want to be able to give to others. I want to be able to be a blessing to other people. I want to have time in my life, and that's a priority for me. It's a priority that I show love and that I have time to spend with other people. We try and fit that in, and we go, but Andy, you're asking me to do all these things, or God, you're saying this is what's important, and it doesn't fit. It just doesn't fit in my life. And here's what I said before, how it works. The order matters. And we say, God, I know it wasn't the God rock, but hey, go with it. God, you are number one in my life. I want to make sure that I put you in first. That my life actually works around, God, what you have, what you want for me. And we decide, I'm actually going to make a decision to put things in place so that my family is a big rock in my life. And we put family in. And we decide that giving to others and to being a blessing to others in whatever way that looks, praying for someone, whether it's getting on the phone with someone, that's actually really important. I want to do better at that. And that's a really big thing in my life. And just on that, margin is so important. And we talk about with finances sometimes, creating margin, creating room to be generous. And I'd encourage you to create that margin as we go forward with regard to your time as well. Let's create margin in our schedules to be able to be called upon by God in certain times. That I'm not so jam-packed that if someone calls and someone needs me, then I'm going to be there to help out. And we put that in. And see, at the end of the day, when the rest goes in, you don't even have to get rid of some of the other stuff, because the order actually matters. When God is first in your life, He will give you more opportunity than you've ever known to be a blessing. He will allow you to be an influencer. He will allow you to do all these sorts of, these other bits and pieces, all the while knowing that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and that He is number one in our lives. The point is, order determines capacity. Matthew 6, 31 and 33. This is a scripture that is like right up the top for me. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Here it is. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. As we reorder things, let's see the pressure shift towards a pressing in the direction of God. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement. Father, we thank you that we have confidence, and we can know that as we reorder our lives and as we make you first, we make you a priority, Lord God, that all these things will be added unto us. Father, I pray that you would help us put things in place in our lives. You would put friends around us that would help us as a community walk forward into all that you have for us, Lord God. I just felt, we're going to sing and we're going to praise God in a second, but I just felt that this was a word in season for some people at home, and perhaps you're sitting there right now and feeling so under pressure. These moments in life, you know, it feels like, you know, one of the words says it feels like pressure is coming from all around us, and I didn't have an example to show you what that looks like, but you know what it feels like when pressure comes from all aspects. I've got this scripture here, Philippians 4:4-7. And I'll read it out. I know this is for someone, and then I'm going to pray. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I just want to pray for that peace to be with people at the moment. So I'm going to ask you to respond. If you're feeling that pressure and you need to know some peace in your life, I'm actually going to ask you to stand wherever you are. If you're in this room and you're responding, then you're feeling that pressure, stand. If you're at home, I know that can be awkward. I know it's weird for people if you're sitting there with your family and you stand. But it gives us an opportunity to know that, hey, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray as a family group or as a community together. So let's, with all of us, just with our arms outstretched and surrender to God. Father, I can't see everyone at home and who has responded, but I know that you can, Lord God, that you look upon each person. Father, that you know their situation. You know them from the inside out, Lord. Father, you understand and you know the pressure that they're all feeling. But Father God, we thank you that you are bigger than this. Father God, that we thank you that you can give us peace, that you can give us perspective in and through these moments. Father God, I pray for anybody who has responded right now, that you would just do that work in their hearts right now, that you would put that peace over their minds, that they would not think to what is next. What am I going to do tomorrow? How is this going to be outworked? But they would know that, Lord God, as they put you first in their lives right now, that you are going to continue that mighty work that you have begun in their lives. Father, we thank you that through us putting you first, that you are glorified. Lord God, that you are able to show your goodness to others. Like we declared this morning, you are good. You are good, God, and we give you praise and glory. So Jesus, be glorified in our lives. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you can continue to do, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Good morning, church. Great to be with you in your home or wherever you are today. As we take communion this morning, I would like to consider the incredible victory we have through the cross and resurrection of Christ. Let's start with our key verse today in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, and I'm reading from the Message paraphrase. Since we are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Saviour took on flesh and blood in order to rescue us by his death. By embracing death, taking it into himself, he destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. It's obvious, of course, that he didn't go to all this trouble for angels. It was for people just like us, children of Abraham. That's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then, when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself, all the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to come around your table this morning, Lord, and we pray that the words that I speak will be a blessing to the church and that we will remember the amazing victory you've given us through the cross. In your precious name. Amen. Well, church, this year has been a tough one for the world. From droughts to bushfires, pandemic viruses and the economic fallout, and in recent time, racial tensions. Our community has been separated, with families and friends restricted from seeing each other. ISO is the word of the moment. There are challenges facing many of us, whether it be our health, our work, financial pressures, relationship struggles, or the fear and anxiety of the future in the new world we now know. In my own life during the pandemic, changes to our dental business with government restrictions on treatment, loss of staff, economic and financial challenges, and doubts and concerns for the future. What is God's purpose for all of this? It has stretched and tested us all in various ways. In the natural, we may be exhausted and tired, and in the spiritual, perhaps flat and empty, and void of Jesus' presence in all we do. We can find ourselves doubting Christ's power and peace in our lives, and being slaves to worry and doubt. Are we opening up our minds and hearts to a life of negative thoughts and doubts, or are we living by what the communion service reminds us of? The ultimate victory over sin and death by Jesus on the cross. So let's focus on that victory we had through the cross and what the communion service represents to us in these times. Firstly, Jesus became human and dealt with the world just like we do. It's what the Bible teaches in verses like John 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh, or Romans 8 3, God having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. It is one thing to know that Jesus is God becoming man, but it is another thing to remember that his sinless, perfect, truest humanity was in flesh. And we're talking about actual flesh and body. We're talking about skin with its own Mediterranean color that covers his physical bones and body. We're talking about bodies like ours. Jesus stepped into our existence. Jesus embraced our humanity, our reality, understood our frailty, and most importantly, in his human form, understood the pain, the hurts, and the insecurities we face. He understood the world we live in today, and he understands the fears and anxiety we face. Jesus gets us, he understands us, and he walks the road with us. But most importantly, his humanity paved the way to overcome death and sin through his death on the cross. Secondly, being human, Jesus paid the ultimate price through his death to free us from our sinful nature and death. In Colossians 2 verses 13 to 15 we read, "You were dead because of your sin, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Jesus Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Jesus dealt with death by dealing with sin. It was sin which caused death in the first place. And without forgiveness and redemption through Jesus, we face a life of being challenged daily by our sin, and ultimately an eternity away from God. A life separated from the freedom of life in Jesus is the essential reason for the fear of death. In verse 14, we are released from the sinful past and guilt we faced. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Communion reminds us that death and resurrection of Christ is the key to a life of forgiveness and victory. Our past, our challenges are nailed to the cross, and we don't have to live in the shadow of death anymore. So let's live in the victory of the cross that the communion service reminds us of. Our communion emblems today remind us that we can live in victory because Jesus defeated death. We now live in the assurance that Jesus has cleared a way for us to have a relationship with him, free of the fear, anxiety, and the baggage of our lives from our past or concerns for our future. Our text in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 teaches us that Jesus has released us from the fear of death because by his death, he has destroyed the one who holds the power of death. His victory over sin means that we are released from the fear of sin and judgment, and therefore from the fear of death. So as we take the bread and the cup this morning, let's remember the victory that we have through the broken body and the shed blood as a sacrifice for our sin. So let's thank Jesus for his death to cover our sin, his resurrection power in our lives to overcome our weaknesses and our doubts. So when you're ready, feel free to take the emblems and then I'll pray. Lord Jesus, we lay our fears and our doubts at your cross, Lord God. Lord, you get us. Lord, you know us and you understand what we face. Thank you for your resurrection and the new life that we have in you, Lord God, and the victory that we have through your death and resurrection. And Lord, our hope is found in you, Lord God, and we trust you in all we do, in your precious name. Amen.